Well, I'd like to say a few words about some theoretical issues embedded in transnational approach with particular reference to the Korean wave. Global popularity of the Korean wave has facilitated various forms of critical reflections on the area studies that regard the nation-state as a primary analytical framework. In the field of media /cultural studies, the limitations and shortcomings of area studies, that is a narrow containing idea of a nation, nationalism, national identity, have been critically discussed, and transnational approaches to the global phenomena of the Korean wave have been widely accepted and applied as an alternative perspective. Well, a number of debates on transnational researches have led to significant outcomes. Well, the list include, to name a few, Diane's internationalizing media studies, of course, and, well, Mapping BRICS Media, just to add it a few days ago, and Kyuram Park's de-Westernizing media studies, Ernie and Chua's Asian media studies, Appa's and Ernie's internationalizing cultural studies, and so on. These studies have helped rethink key conceptual issues such as Western academic hegemony of knowledge production, a new way to imagine a community beyond the Eurocentric nation state, a distinctive formation of multicultural and multinational identity, and so on. Appreciating the contributions of these studies, I understand this conference aims to reframe media cultural studies. At the center of the debate on internationalizing media cultural studies still lie in an issue of de-Westernization in one way or another. In their article, Beyond Metropolitanism and Nativism, Golam and Annabelle rebring it to the fore. They aptly point out that an overemphasis of de-Westernization tends to regenerate a false idea of the putative singularity of the West. Furthermore, de-Westernization has a danger to give an impression that, I quote, the theory and methods of media studies offer nothing of use outside their original birthplaces, end of quote. Tariq's emphatic proposition of de-Westernization also echoes this spirit, I guess. Their critical concerns are also relevant for those naive transnational approaches in Asian media and cultural studies that lack a firm grasp of political, financial, and institutional power structures still profoundly rooted in geopolitically formed nation state, underpinning the dynamics of cultural products and flows. Recent media and cultural studies of the Korean wave have actively engaged with these debates and extensively integrated the multinational approach to their analytical context through various forms of cultural movements and a number of academic journals, including Inter-Asia Cultural Studies. However, they have yet to articulate a more systematic, coherent, and tangible analytical framework. I'd like to share my reflections on how we can go beyond the ambiguous perspective oscillating between nation-state-oriented area studies and the still impalpable multicultural approaches. I'd like to identify threefold issues. They are transregional, transcultural, and transdisciplinary. First, transregional approach. If we take account of constantly border-crossing international media and cultural flows, transnationality contains a limited view on globality to grasp complex interplay between diverse regions. The global reception of the Korean wave may be more clearly seen from a transcontinental or transregional perspective. As Arif Dilik suggests, it would help see the contemporary consciousness of globality and the formation of cultural modernity as a polymorphous modernity or multiple modernity, going beyond the bipolar of the West and the rest, or the East Asia and the rest in this case. So when the unexpected popularity of the Korean wave became increasingly visible in China and Japan, many scholars attributed its success to a mode of cultural proximity commonly underpinned by transnational East Asian values, sorry, traditional East Asian values, such as Confucianism, strong bond to family, devotion to community and state, etc., engendering an unprecedented level of intimacy. When the Korean wave marched on beyond East Asia, firstly Southeast Asia and Middle East, Western Europe and Latin America, the idea of cultural proximity began to be revised, if not dismissed. The recent formation of cultural proximity over the world derives from the globality of urban commodity culture commonly shared by consumers, mainly youth, in metropolitan areas, intertwining them via social media and producing ever-increasing levels of discrepant intimacy, affinity, and attachment. At the same time, the rapid, massive scale of urbanization in every corner of the world would lead to rethink a formation of a global civil society or cultural community would spring not from a traditional mode of national identity, but from this metropolitan media and cultural environment. So second, transcultural approach. While the transregional approach concerns wider, deterritorialized, horizontal globality, the transcultural approach engages more with deeper, vertical, temporal dimension of locality. Let's take an example of Gangnam Style by Korean singer Psy. Well, we grew up in the same region. He's a few years younger than me. But let alone its cosmopolitan features of visual musical representation, it also entails distinctive forms of local urban cultures and various semantic components, such as the formation of subjectivity in the rapid industrialization in Korea, the coexistence of traditional and supermodern lifestyle in Seoul, the shallow, flimsy, and banal consumer culture in Gangnam, the area, the hyper-gentrified upper-middle-class area in my hometown as well, yeah. Humbly accept it. What Nick Couldery suggests a transcultural approach as a new comparative semantic one. Well, conducting the media and cultural research on the Korean wave, I would tweak it a little bit as a more genealogical semantic analysis of a locality, looking at a particular trajectories of nation-building process, identity formation, multidimensional urban culture, modernity in Korea. Well, that would echo Fernando's the mention about the locality, well, translocality as well. Well, third involves the transdisciplinary. Transdisciplinary approach derives from a conception of media studies as a field. An understanding of complex dimensions of Korean wave requires an interdisciplinary approach, of course, encompassing sociology, politics, history, finance, and management studies, etc. However, a critical media and cultural studies of the Korean wave engage with these research outcomes, but a transdisciplinary approach more concerns how to integrate media practices into analytical research. Media are not a mere technical tool to deliver a message or a content, but play a role to articulate a message, as Marshall McLuhan of the Cage a few decades ago. McLuhan's pioneering yet provocative statement, medium is the message, may still merit some critical considerations in relation to an issue of research method before dismissing it as technological determinism. As we all are aware, the thesis, McLuhan's thesis, refers to the significance of the form of communication of media irrespective of its content. That is, the communication medium itself has the potential to influence the way a particular medium's content is perceived and to shape cultures dominated by specific media. This techno idea, for me, could be further integrated into our methodological debates. If media and cultural studies be a field, it may involve a specific mode of research practices fitting into itself. I would argue that the medium is the methodology. Digital humanities, in general, provide a new way of thinking of a media practice in relation to methodology. for data mining, visualization of big data, digital archiving, not to mention visual ethnography. The media and cultural studies as a transdisciplinary field needs to engage more actively with these debates and integrate the contribution into specific analytical contexts. In doing so, the media and cultural studies can become the first generation of new studies in the age of global crisis of academia, avoiding being the last generation of conventional academic disciplines. Well, I've given them a limited time. Maybe I should avoid to say a spoiler of the Game of Thrones, but I usually had a chat with my computer science and nerd friends, and then he'd say, guys, you are talking about post-colonialism, post-structuralism. Winter is coming, yeah, Lisa. I have 2 minutes, so I can say a little bit about Jon Snow or something. Winter is coming, so we are talking about the small things, but it's these two binaries and conventional dichotomies between natural sciences and human sciences are challenged by big, big data issues and the digital humanities. So probably winter already has arrived in the Westminster University, but I'm very keen to work with the wildlings. And there is we can have something and to survive this challenge. We are not talking about this small issue about subaltern studies or small things about ethnographic research methods. This is a big challenge. We all are facing that. How we can survive and how we can be the first generation of the new the academic field would be the issue. How we can reframe the media cultural studies. I really like university forward-thinking Westminster. So that is in between. It's a forward/. I think the forward is really good at is Westminster. But it's I think that how we can be at the first generation of new field as well. Thanks very much indeed.